Why don't we start by turning to Romans chapter 12. This is our last lesson. As you know, that on the very back of your handout, there is the sort of the one another's. Should be like the little chart that we've been using. And we divided the one another's into two big sections, the positive and the negative. We had 7 positive and 3 negative. But even under the positive, there's a lot more than 7. If you notice, serve one another, care for one another, which is being kind, regarding, being devoted, bearing one another's burdens, accept one another, build up one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, forgive one another. I mean, just all those different one another's. The last section has to do with 3 negative ones. It's like, don't judge one another. We spent a whole lesson on that. Don't have conflict one with another. We finished that last week. And this morning, Lord willing, don't have lawsuits one with another. We just want to talk about that whole issue. And so that's sort of how everything fits together on your handout. And so we're on the last one. We've been looking at these places in God's Word dealing with our relationships. There are over 60 places in the New Testament where we've seen the one another's. And here's the overarching one. And we said it was this, to loving one another. 1 John 4:11, we are to love one another. And we said this, that if we love one another, we'll end up doing all the other one another's. Because as you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, are loving people, you'll be admonishing them, you'll be building them up, you'll be, you know, taking care of them, you'll be bearing one another's burdens, you'll be doing all these, and at the same time, you won't be doing the negative ones, you won't be judging one another, those kind of things. So that's what we've done. We grouped them, as I said a while ago, into the 7 positive and 3 negative, and so this is the last one. The last one deals with lawsuits. And basically, it's from 1 Corinthians. We'll go back there in just a minute. But it says, don't have lawsuits one with another. And so we'll talk about it because that comes up sometimes. It comes up with the times when people will say things like, should a believer sue a believer? What do you do in situations like that? How does it fit? Well, let's think about it. How do we react when somebody does us wrong? When somebody mistreats us? When they say things about us, when they lie, when they cheat, when they steal, how do we respond when somebody does something wrong and takes advantage of us? Romans chapter 12 is where I told you to turn, gives us some truth from God's Word and how to deal and how to react when people do us wrong. Because what is the natural response that you want to do when somebody does you wrong? Get them back. I mean, that's they do this to you, you're going to do this back. They pull in front of you, you say, hey, wait just a minute. I'm pulling right back in front of you. You're not going to get away with that. And in fact, that's what we say. In our minds, we say, they're not going to get away with that. Well, look what Romans says. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 17, just to give us an idea. He says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Now, he recognizes that there will be people who will do evil to us. I want you to know this. Sometimes people are going to do you wrong, and they didn't even mean to do you wrong. They just did you wrong. There are going to be times people do you wrong, and they meant to do you wrong. And your response is going to be, I'm going to get them back. Because they don't do that. They don't do that. This passage says, never pay back, never return evil for evil to anyone. You don't give people evil when they do you evil. In fact, he says, respect what is right in the sight of all men. Never pay back evil. Don't try to get people back. Notice the next verse. If possible, so as far as it depends on you, from your side of it, be at peace with all men. Now, sometimes you can't be at peace with people because they won't let you be at peace with them. From your side, you may say, I'm not going to cause an issue, but they might. But he says, just as much as possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Now, as Freddie brought up a while ago, and it's just true, what's the natural response when people do us wrong? It's to get them back. It is to return evil with evil. But notice verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We don't have to get revenge. You don't have to get revenge. Who's going to get revenge? God really gets revenge. Now, it sounds funny to say, you know, revenge, like God's waiting up there and saying, I'm getting them back. But that's not exactly how it works. God is a righteous and just God, and when there is evil, there are going to be consequences for evil. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, 7. It is true. So, when a person does us wrong, we are not to get revenge. Revenge is you getting them back. People always talk about the law. And what did the law say? Mosaic law, an eye for an eye and a tooth. Why did it do that? Because here's what the concept was. If you poked out somebody's eye, they're not going to go poke out the other guy's eye. They're going to kill him. So the law limited retribution. The law said eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, because if somebody knocks somebody's tooth out, they're going to say, I'm knocking that guy's head off. I'm not just losing a tooth over this. So we always go worse. So when you return evil with evil, usually the evil you're returning is greater than the evil they did you. That's why even under the Mosaic law, it limited retribution by saying eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what the law was. The Bible tells us here, listen, don't pay back evil with evil. Never take your own revenge. Leave room for the wrath of God. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Now, the natural response, and then remember, we have to live supernatural lives, but the natural response when people do us wrong is to get them back. But here's the supernatural response, and it is this. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. That was a statement in those days that a person was embarrassed because they had done somebody wrong, and then somebody turned around and did them right. And it's an embarrassment. It's that they called it heaping the coals on the head was an embarrassing statement. So he's saying when you do good to the guy who does you wrong, it's an embarrassing thing for them. He said, just do good to people. Do good even to your enemy, because this is an embarrassment to them. It'll make them say, what am I doing? They're doing me right. I'm doing them wrong. And then he ends the little section by saying, do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. People will realize we don't get vengeance. When people do us wrong, we don't get them back. Not individually, not personally. We're going to think about it from another view now. What about a company? What about when a person or a company does us wrong? Do we sue? Is there a difference between suing believers and unbelievers? We know that Paul used his right as a Roman citizen all the way through, and there were times they were going to beat him, and he said, are you supposed to beat a Roman citizen? And they went, you're not a Roman citizen. He said, yeah, I'm a Roman citizen. They said, no, we won't be able to beat you then. In fact, Paul said, you've already done wrong. You already did it. So Paul used his rights. What rights do we have? Do we use rights? I mean, we're under the laws of the government. Can we use the laws of the government? Well, we'll talk about it. I'm going to give you an issue. I was in Borgard. I've told this story before. When I was in seminary, I'd fly back and forth. I'd fly from Dallas to Amarillo, drive 50 miles to Borgard, stay there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday morning, drive back to Amarillo, fly back to Dallas and go to school. That's what we did for 2 years. While I was in Borgard, there was a man in the church, was a great man. I mean, a great man. And he owned this industrial supply company. That supplied oil wells and oil fields and all of that. There was also another man in the exact same church, both of them members of our church, and he bought stuff from the man. He would go down and buy things, but he didn't pay his bill. In fact, he got where he owed about several thousand dollars. So the guy who was the main owner had some partners, and they came to him and said, we need to sue the guy and get our money. The man in the church said, I can't really do that because he's a fellow believer. He's in my same church. I know he owes me money, but I'm not going to sue him. So he called his friend and said, you owe me several thousand dollars. I'm not going to sue you because we're in the same body, and we'll talk about it in a minute whether this was the thing to do or not. He said, but I'm not, first of all, we won't ever say anything else until you pay your bill. And I'm not going to sue you. I'd like for you to pay your bill, and then things will be okay. Well, was this the right thing to do? What does the scripture say? Are believers to sue one another? Whatever happened in that situation? You know what happened? What do you think happened? He paid his bill, right? No, he didn't. Never paid a penny. Never paid a penny. And quit going to church. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We've come to the last of the one another's. The overarching one is what? Love one another. The last one is this. Don't have lawsuits with one another. Now, he's talking about believers here. Remember this, and let's go to 1 Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is really hard. And I'll give you my input on best that I can see from the scripture on how things fit. As we look at this issue, it's often raised, is are Christians to sue one another? What do Christians do when they have disputes? What if two families, two people in our church have a dispute that somebody could say, well, I'm going to take you to court. What do you do on this? How do you handle this? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there were some problems in Corinth. And let me just remind you, if you haven't been coming on Sunday nights we've been doing 1 Corinthians, and here are some issues in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 3, there were divisions in the church. In chapter 4, it was pride. In chapter 5, it was immorality. In chapter 6, it was lawsuits. Chapter 7, it was illicit sexual relationships. In chapter 8, had to do with meat offered to idols, which doesn't sound like anything to us, but it was then. Chapter 11 was the Lord's Supper. 12, 13, and 14, they were having problems with spiritual gifts. In chapter 15, they were having problems with resurrection. So the problem is the whole book, the whole church was in trouble, right? They were in trouble all the way through. In chapter 6, he's going to deal with an issue of lawsuits, of suing each other. There were believers suing each other. What does he say to do? What does Paul say about this? Look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "Does any of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints?" The first thing that he says is, what if you have a case against your neighbor? And when he says neighbor, he's talking about fellow believers. This whole issue we're talking about in 1 Corinthians and what we're talking about right now is, what about a fellow Christian, a fellow believer? We're not talking about State Farm insurance. We're not talking about something else. We're not talking about this. We're talking about a fellow believer, a person that you know, that you say, this person has trusted Christ. We've talked. I know this person's a Christian. He knows I'm a Christian. What do you do? He says, Paul says, does any of you, when you have a case against your neighbor, when you have an issue against your neighbor, you dare, notice what he says, you dare to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? He says, you're going before the unbelieving world with your issue. He's saying you got two believers who are going before the unbelieving world with their issues. That's what he's talking about. Now, this is not easy. This is what it says. I wish we could have skipped it, but we didn't. Anyway, here's the deal. Look what he says. Dare you go to law before unrighteous and not before the saints? He says you're supposed to go before the saints. What in the world is he talking about? I mean, is it okay for two Christians to sue one another and go down to the courthouse and file lawsuits and judges and people? I mean, what is he says, dare you go before the unrighteous and not before the saints? They're suing one another before the unbelieving world. Now, I want you to understand the biblical plan. For two believers who have a dispute, they're not to take their case before the unbelieving world, but they're to take their case to wise men within the body of Christ. And I know some people say, that won't work. It's supposed to work. I know some people say, you mean you're telling me that some guy in this church who I have a relationship with and they do something and they either owe me money or something and they won't pay me or something like this and I think I ought to sue them? You're saying don't sue them. You're saying don't go before the unbelieving world, but go before the saints? And the answer is, yeah. I'm going to tell you some stories in just a minute, but that's the biblical plan. I'm going to talk some more about, is it ever okay to sue, and how do you sue, and when, and how, those kind of things. We'll get some ideas in a minute. Once again, some of these things, they're hard. They're hard in our culture, in our world. Look what he goes on to say. And let me see, I'm not following along on this. Okay, yeah, here's the biblical plan. In verse 2, notice what he says. Don't you know that the saints will judge the world, and if the world is judged by you, are you not competent to judge or to constitute the smallest law courts? He says, believers judge the world. Do you know there's going to come a time as believers, we're over the world system. When you get to the kingdom aspect, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all of believers who lived and were righteously and godly are going to have places of responsibility to judge the world and to rule the world. That's why people talk about, you're going to rule, you're going to be, we're going to rule with Jesus Christ. In fact, some of the places in the Bible talk about we're going to rule and reign with Christ. We will. That's why we judge the world. He says, if one day we as believers will rule the world, are you not competent as believers now who are going to rule the world to be able to handle these small issues? Look at the next verse. Don't you know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? He says, believers are going to even judge the angels. How's that going to happen? Well, there's going to come a time that the angels, the fallen angels, will be separated forever. And we, in a sense, because we are children of God, will be in a judgment over them because we'll be with Jesus Christ and they won't be. And so he says, listen, how in the world are you going to go to the unbelieving world and solve your cases when you're supposed to be able to judge these things yourself? You know what he's going to say in a little bit later? He says, you're already defeated when you have the lawsuits against each other. Well, how in the world is all this to be situated and figured out? Well, it's wise men in the body. Look at verse 5. He says, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? He says, when two believers are having a dispute, instead of going before the law and before the unbelieving world, is there not at least one wise person in the body that could help decide the issue? That's what he's saying. In a local body, in a local church, there are supposed to be a number of men who have been raised up as elders and deacons, especially elders, who are the mature men. If you look at the characteristics of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, these are mature men. They are supposed to be able to help decide issues within the body. This is really hard stuff. He says, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there's not even among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? And then he says, but here's what's happening. Brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. So the problem is a testimony issue here. It's a testimony issue. Do we want the unbelieving world to see that Christians can't get along? What does that do with the testimony of Jesus Christ and the fact that we want people to trust in Christ as Savior and have eternal life, but we say, no, we're no different than the rest of the world. We can't get along with each other. So he's saying our testimony would be destroyed. If two believers have disputes, the bottom line is they should go before wise believers within the body. I've got another story. I was at Dallas Seminary, and for about two or three of the years I was there, I developed a friendship with a guy by the name of Jimmy Etheridge. He was a good guy, really a great guy. And he really wanted to be a pastor, sort of an evangelist. What he wanted to do is go around and, you know, proclaim the scripture. And he had a good grace message, and that's what he wanted to do. So he went to Dallas Seminary. But before he went to Dallas Seminary, he owned a cleaning company that cleaned high-rise buildings. I mean, it was a big company. He had 60 or 70 people or maybe more that worked for him that they would just go to an office complex and they would clean the building. And they would clean this. And that's what he did for a living. That's how he made his money while he went to seminary. He just ran his company while he was going to seminary. But about 5 years earlier, there was a guy in his church who was looking for a job. And so Jimmy said, I'll hire you. And since this guy was in his church, he said, look, I'm not going to hire you like to clean the building. I'll let you be. You'll be one of my main supervisor guys. You're going to be with me. And in fact, as they got into there, Jimmy said, I'm going to, and they took out a contract and they talked about different things. But Jimmy said, I'm going to put you as kind of like my right hand man. And I want you to help run the thing while I'm in seminary. Well, I remember Jimmy coming to me and saying, Jimmy, he's not showing up. He's not doing this. He's not doing this. And, you know, I may have to let him go. I don't know what to do. And so we talked, and I said, well, I don't know. I don't know your situation. Well, after about a year, it just didn't work. And so Jimmy called him in and said, you know, I'm just going to have to let you go. And the guy said, well, if you let me go, I want this much money, this much. And it was a lot. And so Jimmy said, I don't know if I can do that. And the guy said, I'll sue you if you don't give me this. Jimmy was a good guy, and he had also studied the scripture, and they were both people in the same church. They both went to the same church. So you know what they did? They agreed that the elders would sit down with the two men, and Jimmy would tell all about his thing, and this guy would tell all about his thing, and they would live with whatever decision the elder of that church made. And they did. They did not sue. There was no lawsuits. There was none of that. They went before their elders of their church, and some decisions were made. And I want you to know that it wasn't to the advantage of Jimmy, because it didn't turn out the way Jimmy wished it had turned out. But he said, I made the agreement that I would not go before the unbelieving world with a lawsuit against him or him against me, that we would go before the wise men in our church and let them make a decision. I know this is contrary to what a lot of people think, but this is what I can see from the scripture on these. Notice what he says in verse 7. Actually then, he's saying, if you go to a lawsuit before the unbelievers, actually then, it's already a defeat for you that you even have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? You know what he's saying, and I know it's so hard, but what he's saying is, it'd be better to lose money or lose whatever rather than go before the unbelieving world with believers and show these kind of arguments. That's what he's really saying. He says it's better to just lose. It's better to say, okay, I just lost that money. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm not going to get it back if that's the way it's going to be. So I would say as a simple idea here is let's, in our world of believers, the best we can do is when we are in relationships with other believers and their disputes, rather than maybe going before the court system or the law system in the unbelieving world, go before wise men in a local body and see if you can handle it that way. That's the best. Now, here's the second question that people always ask. What about an unbeliever? What about a person who's not a Christian and you got a dispute with them? Well, I can find nothing in the scripture that says that you can't use the law systems. And so this is only believers that he's dealing with in this passage. So I would say that if there is a dispute with people who are not believers, it may be that you have the right to use the law system and the court system, Romans 13, to do what you think is best. Now, it may be that even in those situations, you may say, I would rather let it go than to have to go before the fallen world, so to speak. Sometimes in things like car wrecks and things like that, you may have to have a lawyer to deal with a company or if some new product you bought and they don't deliver on it. It may be sometime you have to say, I've got to recover this. We're not talking about this. This only deals with believers with each other in disputes so that you won't have to go before the fallen world. So it's pretty hard. I would just say that I've known in my life where a man in the church in Borger did not sue someone who he could have sued and won, and he just went ahead and went with 1 Corinthians 6. I saw Jimmy Etheridge deal with 1 Corinthians 6 in a dispute going before believers in his church. I do not think it would be wrong in a case of an unbeliever or a case of some product or something in which you're not suing an individual, in which you're not dealing with an unbeliever, that it's a possibility that you could use the law system and the court system, which you have the right to use under the biblical principles, to do that. Okay, let me stop for a second. Any questions or comments? It's kind of a hard thing. I think it just boils down to if it's with a fellow believer, I wouldn't do the lawsuit. Yes. That's where you run into real problems, because you may say, we got wise men in our church, but we don't think they got wise men in their church. And that's where you run into trouble. And I don't know. See, in the Corinthian church, how many churches were there in Corinth? There was one. There was the one big church. They met in house churches, but there was one leadership. What's happened in our culture today, and as anybody knows, there are so many churches, and some churches are different because people say, I like worshiping this way and they like worshiping this way. We believe the same thing. We just have two different ways of worship. The other churches, they don't even believe the same ways. So it makes it really hard. I think it could be a situation. I'm just saying this. It could be a situation where somebody from another church, if you think has done you wrong, you can't decide on wise people to solve the problem. You just may have to let it go and be defrauded. You just may have to. I'm just saying that I'd rather go by this the best I can, and just trust God that He'll make it right in the long run. Susie, did you have your hand?
Same question.
Same question. Yeah, I think it's really hard.
I'm making a distinction with a believer in your own body. But
yeah, it would be a lot easier for a believer in your own body in which these issues happen, in which you could go back to the leadership of the church. If a believer's in, and you know there are people in this town that you know are believers, they go to a different church. What if you had a dispute with them? So it makes it a lot harder. Yes. Yeah, that's a real hard one. She says, what about somebody who they don't live like a believer, but they say they're a believer? Well, you know, we all know that whether you live like a believer or not doesn't determine whether you are a believer. The only thing we could ever go by is what they say. That's the only thing we can go by, because you can't go by lifestyle, because you can be a believer living a horrible life, or you can be an unbeliever living a good life. And so you can't really go by lifestyle. Only thing you can do is go by what people say. And so you're in a hard part when here's a person who we know the way they live is pretty horrible, and yet they say, oh, I'm a Christian. And so in a sense, if you obey the Bible, you're saying, well, this person says they're a Christian. Then there needs to be some disputes settled, and there needs to be wise men. Of course, this person, some people say, I'm not going to go before any people. If you don't like it, just sue me. And you may say, well, because I'm going to live by the Scripture, I'm not going to, even though you're a jerk. How about what? In this passage, he's dealing with believers, and he's talking about wise men within the body, but there might be arbitrators who would be somebody who would be outside of both churches, or somebody that they might agree on and say, okay, we'll just meet with this person, and we both agree beforehand. I mean, that we'll go, that's people's court, and those people agree beforehand that they're going in there, and whatever they rule, they will go by. They go by. They can do that. Yes. Okay, so you're saying one of the examples of unbeliever is if they've done you wrong, by sometimes saying, I'm not going to see you and I forgive you, you're not going after them.
Because they don't live according to the Scripture doesn't mean that.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I'm saying that you probably biblically would have the right under the law system that God says to obey the laws of your government, and Paul used the Roman government to his advantage. You could use our government to your advantage if you've been wronged and if you can see that it doesn't violate the Scripture. You may choose never to. You may say, I just let that go. You may do that. Was that the second bell, first bell?
Second bell.
Okay. Second bell. Okay, let's finish. We got to finish. Last page. It says, let's love one another. That's the overarching thing. 1 John 4, where it says, see all the, and I want you to write in there, see all the one another's. And what you want to do is think about the one another's, the ones that we studied over all these weeks, with the overarching one, love one another. And here's the key to the whole thing. And it's John 13, 34 and 35. Realize they will know that we belong to Christ, that we're his disciples. How? And how do they do that? Should be the next slide, for our love for one another. So as we love one another, shut that door. No, I'm just kidding. Got to be loving. Please shut the door. No, come on in. Come on in and get the Bible. Yeah, come on in. Anyway, by our love one for another, that's what we do. Okay, so let me give you an application. Get very practical. Think through the Bible. Think through the passages. Take that last sheet. Say, we'll love one another. Here are the areas. Maybe even say, okay, I'm going to really emphasize maybe this one another for a while. I'm going to try to build up one another. And then maybe you look at another one and you do that. But just take the time to do the best you can in this, because that's the key, and it makes an impact for the rest of our lives. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our study on the one another's. And Lord, even the last one is really hard. We just want to live for you by the Scripture and do the best that we can to make an impact for you in every area. And so, Lord, may we love one another, and then all of the other one another's would fit under that, and give us wisdom as we deal with these kind of issues. And may we live for you in such a way that you get all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.